This Monday morning on Wake Up With Hope, we'll be making a green pea mingle with Gia and her mini chefs, and we will also premiere another inspiring series from the Unseen Media Group.
And that's not all. Alex Rodriguez from Voice of Prophecy will join us to share a devotional thought. Stay with us. Happy Monday morning. Thank you for joining us this morning at Wake Up With Hope.
It's another great day to be alive and yes. To be here on Wake Up With Hope. We're so excited to be waking up with you, kicking off this new week as we start it together with the love of Jesus and the hope that He has for us every day.
You know, on today's program, we will have a delicious green pea mingle recipe for your Monday. And we're also going to share another impactful episode from the Unseen Media Group's Dee Casper. And of course, we have much more to help get your week started filled with the hope of Jesus. But first, we have this day in history.
On this day in history, Apollo 12, the second manned mission to the surface of the moon, was launched from Cape Canaveral, Florida, with astronauts Charles Conrad Jr., Richard F. Gordon Jr., and Alan L. Bean aboard. President Richard Nixon viewed the liftoff from Pad A at Cape Canaveral. He was the first president to attend the liftoff of a manned spaceflight.
You know, as we think about space today, we want to give you another heaven to think about. In the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16, it says, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Thus we shall always be with the Lord." Friends, have you ever stopped to think about this wonderful event? First, it mentions that Jesus himself will come to rescue his followers and take us to the heavenly kingdom and the heavenly mansions prepared for us. Second, we will all go together. You know, when Jesus comes, that is when everyone who followed him will go to heaven together. You know, what a journey.
Yes.
Just think, what will we pass on our way to heaven? We're going to have that exclusive view of space up close and personal. Just imagine passing the now unsearchable stars and being amazed at how big those seemingly tiny specks really are. And best of all, we're going to have Jesus as our guide. It's an incredible thought, friends. Take some time today to think about the wonders of heaven and choose Jesus. You know, he longs to see you there.
Amen. Are you looking for a way to get your family to eat more veggies? Well, how about a green pea mingle? Gia and her team bring us this delightful recipe, perfect for lunch.
Today, we are making the green pea mingle, and it's from the Revive Cookbook. I suggest you look at that cookbook. It's awesome. The recipes are great, and they're easy. And if your kids don't like greens like silver beet, spinach, and peas, they will love this recipe. Olive had it last night. Did you like it?
No.
You didn't? Oh, you just said you did. Okay, it's true. She didn't actually like it. But my son Moses, he actually ate the whole thing. And you said you didn't like this one, but you liked that one. Is that right? So let's try it, okay? So I added just a tablespoon of olive oil. And this is 3 cups of silver beet. But I don't put it all in together because you need to let it wilt a little bit. So we'll go slowly with that. But first, garlic. It calls for 2 cloves, but add as much as you want. I'm going to add lots. I'm going to add maybe 3 cloves. 3. I'm going to add 3 to this one because you love the garlic in it. I know. Oh, my son loved it. And everyone else in the family loved it. Okay, so cook the garlic. We'll put the peas in. Do you want to give them to me? Okay, you can collect them and I'll put that in there. You collect the rest. And it's so simple. It's only a few ingredients and then you just throw it all into a pan and cook it. Fry it off. so we'll add a little bit of salt, maybe just a quarter of a teaspoon. You can salt it according to the taste, so you can taste it. And if you want more salt, add it. If you don't have to. Put some more of the silver beet, let it wilt. Once it wilts down, then you add the rest to it. Oh, I've lost some peas. Now, there is another ingredient you put in this, and it's a tablespoon of honey. And if you don't want to use honey, we actually have a really good recipe for date paste on our website. I sometimes use date paste. If I've got some, I don't today, so I'm just going to use a little bit of a honey just to give it a bit of a sweetness. And I think that's probably why the kids love it so much, because it's sweet and a bit of salt, a bit of garlic. And you only need to cook it until it's just warm through. So it doesn't need to be overcooked. So you want it to look green still and flavorsome. Oh, sorry, I stole it. There you go. Are you going to help me in the end and put this on top? So you hold those. That's okay, I'll put it on top. Olive's having fun with the sesame seeds. Yay! I'm losing it. That's okay. That's what it's all about, isn't it? Ooh! Owie! That burnt my fingers. I'll never do that. Okay, so it's done. Well, you've messed up the plate, so I'm going to grab another plate. And we are going to put some in there. It's not that hot anymore. Yay! So I let it cook for about 5 minutes. Just like I said, enough to heat it through. Oh, it looks awesome. I could smell the garlic. It's awesome. And we are going to throw, we made a big mess. Hey, I love making messes in the kitchen. Yep, let's do that. Let me do this thing. Oh, and just some toasted sesame seeds on top. And there you have it, a nice side dish for your table. You've got people over to add to your meal. Enjoy.
Oh, that was pretty good.
Yes, it looks
very delicious. Our kids, Elijah and Mariah, would like it.
I do too.
Yeah, try it.
Okay.
And have you ever tried one of our recipes? If you have, send us a message on Facebook and let us know how it turned out. Did you like it? We'd love to learn. And also, are you enjoying today's program? Well, inspire someone else and share it with a friend. Or you can even visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup and see even more inspiring content. Well, in just a few moments, Dee Casper will be back to share some thoughtful and inspirational insights on our fear of failure. So don't go anywhere. In the meantime, don't forget to check out our YouTube channel. Simply search for Wake Up with Hope and keep up with each one of our episodes. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Wake Up with Hope, friends. We are blessed to be with you this morning.
Are you afraid of failure? You know, God has an amazing assurance for you. Listen in as Steve Casper uncovers this amazing promise.
Do you feel like a failure? Do you wonder if God will even take you back because you failed? I want to share something with you. It's been a great blessing to me in my greatest moments of discouragement. In the Old Testament, there's a prophet named Elijah whom God uses in amazing ways and with great power. Probably the greatest way is when he literally calls down fire from heaven on Mount Carmel to prove that God alone is worthy of allegiance and worship. It rocks the nation, and even Ahab, the pagan king of Israel, is convicted and realizes that he's in the wrong. And it's at this moment, when Elijah seems to have the greatest potential in ministry, that he enters the darkest experience of his life. Word gets to Jezebel, Ahab's wife, and she issues a death decree for Elijah. Elijah hears of it and he runs for his life. He's seized with depression, he forgets God, he loses his hold on God, and he literally wants to die. And at this stage, you would assume that God is going to wipe his hands of this guy and move on to someone else, but he doesn't. He literally sends an angel from heaven to minister to Elijah's needs to keep running from himself. And then when Elijah gets to Mount Horeb, God doesn't greet him with words of condemnation and shame. He asks him a simple, probing question: What are you doing here? I still need you. Go back. And Elijah does go back, and he ends up raising up Jehu and Elisha, who bring reform to the nation. And then his story ends in a way that none of us would expect. God literally sends a fiery chariot from heaven to take this guy home without ever tasting death. I don't know where you find yourself today, but here's what I do know. There's a God in heaven who knows no failure and who loves people who are filled with failure. And that even when we do fail and mess up, he loves us enough to chase us down and to ask us that question, what are you doing here? I haven't called you here, and I'm not giving up on you because you are here. I believe in you, and I need you. And I'm asking you to go back and trust that my strength is made perfect in your weakness.
Wonderful, Counselor, Prince of Peace, King of Kings, and Lord of Lords. There is wonderful power in the name of Jesus. And now Don Singh joins us as he sings of the name of Jesus.
What's in a name in time that can save a life like mine? What's my impossibility is his reality. From beginning to the end, of all things, the name that resounds through the galaxies untold, Redeemer and Friend, and Savior of all kind, his name is Jesus, the name above all other names. He died on that cross that we might live. His infinite love is impossible. From beginning to the end, Creator of all things, untold, Redeemer and Friend, Savior of all kind, his name is Jesus, his name is Jesus, the only name, his name is Jesus, the name above all other names. There's a name in time that saved a world like mine.
Well, it's now time for us to take a short break as we get ready for the motivating devotional thought this morning. When we return, Voice of Prophecy will be here to share with us. And don't forget to check out our YouTube channel and simply search for Wake Up With Hope and keep up with us.
Welcome back to Wake Up With Hope. We hope your day is starting off wonderfully as you consider the love and peace found in Jesus.
And now we have Alex Rodriguez from our friends at Voice of Prophecy sharing this morning's devotional thought.
Scripture is replete with powerful statements from the lips of God, such as, I am who I am. I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me. I am the resurrection and the life. Peace, be still. Or, it is finished. And I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, to name just a few. And while each of these and others like them could passionately and convincingly argue for the accolade of most powerful statement in Scripture, I believe that prestige goes to a well-known but often overlooked statement. A statement that also has the distinct honor of being the first pronouncement from God recorded in the opening pages of the first book and chapter of Holy Script. Genesis 1:1 through 3 reads, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters." And here's the statement. Listen closely. "Then God said, let there be light. And there was light." There it is. Let there be light. It comes and goes quickly, and if you blink, its significance can be easily lost and overshadowed by the magnanimity of the supernatural acts that follow in the creation story. But not so fast. There's more than meets the eye in this seemingly insignificant declaration that turns on the lights of the Milky Way and illumines the dark, formless, void sphere we fondly call home. What's so special about this statement, you might ask? Well, beyond the physical reality that God just spoke an unfathomable amount of pure energy into existence ex nihilo, out of nothing, there's something more personal, lovely, glorious taking place. And to comprehend that, we need to peer behind the scenes a bit, looking at events before the creation of our planet. Ezekiel 28 and Isaiah 14 tell the story of a majestic, angelic being who through jealousy became God's enemy, trading his name Lucifer, meaning light-bringing or morning star, for Satan, or adversary. Revelation 12 reveals that through deceit and cunning, he drew at least a third of the angels to his side and led the first coup in the history of the universe. Verse 7 and 8 read, "And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven." Defeated and cast out of heaven, he and his minions eventually turned their attention to earth. But before that could happen, the earth had to be created, and this is where the story gets interesting. One third of heaven is empty, and the void is keenly felt by all. The remaining angelic host stand in disbelief and confusion in that their friends, family, are now sworn enemies, and many serious accusations have been hurled against God and his kingdom. At some point, and maybe partly in order to replenish the vacancies left by the rebels, the Godhead places in motion the plan to create the earth and mankind. All know that something special is about to happen. The faithful angels wait with bated breath to see what a spectacular exercise of divinity will bring into existence. On the other side, Satan's army is unsettled. What will this new planet be like? Who will occupy it? How will this play into the great battle between Satan and God? Are but a few of the many questions stirring in their minds. And while angelic reactions are significant, something greater is taking place. Out of reach from the created, another battle rages. Divine foresight and foreknowledge has peered into future events to reveal tragedy. A master plan has been strategized, but it's not too late. The circumstances required to set this plan in motion have not yet taken place. The ramifications and demands of predestination are not yet necessary. All await with great anticipation. Then cutting through the tension and uncertainty, heavenly beings are startled by the melodious and gentle yet powerful and commanding voice of the pre-incarnate Christ as he speaks, "Let there be light." And in that moment, with a short, seemingly insignificant phrase, Christ condemns himself to death. You see, the power of the phrase is not in what was created, as glorious as that is, but in what was condemned. Revelation 13:8 describes Christ as the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Genesis 3 records the fall of man. God's foreknowledge saw this coming before we were created. As made clear in the serpent's question to Eve regarding what God said would happen if she ate of the fruit, and her answer that they were not to eat it or touch it on the penalty of death, It would have been reasonable and perfectly justifiable for Adam and Eve to have fallen over dead as soon as they transgressed. But God's love and intentions are revealed from the very first, as the Bible records that He walked through the cool of the day, calling out their names. Could it be that He is not angry with us? Could it be that He can fix this? Could it be that God has a solution? These and many other thoughts must have raced through their minds as they answered His call and presented themselves before Him. And sure enough, although they didn't clearly understand it then, God's plan was made known in verse 15 as He states, "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." Friends, I'm a Christian today because of the love that God bestowed towards me. Before we were even a thought or this world was formed, God saw us, loved us, and made a decision to die for us. There's a lot that masquerades as love in this world, which leaves us totally empty. And quite frankly, if love is what this world expresses it to be, I want nothing to do with it. Fortunately, there is real love out there, and it's found in the arms of a Savior who spared nothing to make a way for us to live with Him and for Him to dwell with us. Is this life tough? Are you exhausted and collapsing under the weight of the crushing pressures of everyday living? Maybe you're facing financial struggles and you don't see a light at the end of the tunnel. Or maybe you're battling relationship issues and your world is caving in around you. Is it health? Are you fighting against frailty, sickness, or disease? Or maybe you're just at a fork in the road, needing to make a decision and have no one to guide you. Some of you may be dealing with unspeakable traumas, and some of you have had to swallow the bitter pill of grief. Your fight or flight response is kicking in, and maybe you feel like running. If any of this resonates, then may I invite you to run. Yes, run. Run right into the arms of Jesus, the one and only true friend who will never let you down. I'm thankful to start this week with you, our Hope Channel family, once again. Let's pray together this morning. Father in heaven, thank you for being with us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for your kindness, and that before all of the earth and humanity was created, that you loved us, you saw us, and you made a plan and a way of escape. Lord, you gave your Son, Jesus, for us, and I thank you for that. Help us to walk with you. Friends, thank you so much for joining us. And we hope here at the Voice of Prophecy that you will wake up with hope each and every day. Until next time, God bless.
Thank you so much, Alex, for those inspiring words.
Amen. And friends, a big thank you to you for being with us here today and watching Wake Up with Hope.
And please join us again tomorrow. We'll be right here as Elizabeth Talbot from Jesus 101 shares with us a morning devotion. We will also have a dedicated prayer session, health tips from Living in the Kitchen, and so much more. If you enjoyed today's messages and your mind is asking questions about the Bible and you say, how can I find out more? Hope.study is the place to go to receive your free Bible study guides.
We have no doubt that our free Bible study guides are going to be a life-changing experience. Again, that's hope.study. And before we go, we have a Bible promise that we want to share with you. It's found in Psalms chapter 146, verse 8.
And it says, "The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous." Friend, He promises to lift you up today.
Amen. And we hope that you've enjoyed our time together with us. Have a wonderful and very hope-filled Monday. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, today, Lord, we choose to look up. We choose to lift up our heads and to know that there is a God in heaven who cares about us. You love us. And today, Lord, we commit our ways to you. Give us insight. Give us wisdom to make the very best decisions today. And above all, Lord, guard our hearts so we can keep our eyes fixed on you. In Jesus' name, amen.